update of what's happening from week to week around here. Our Providence publicist, if you'd like to be on that mailing list, please share an email or a phone number, and we'd be happy to get that information to you. I'm delighted to welcome our parish associate, Jenny Smanek, with us this morning to bring the message as we continue in this stewardship season. And anyone who would like to hear more about some questions and answers with stewardship and the finances of this congregation is invited to get your coffee and your refreshments and come downstairs from about 11:30 to 12:30 and share in that time there. Few announcements that I'd like to draw your attention to. You will find an insert with the week before us in your bulletin. The information on what's happening around here is also on our website, and it's kept quite up to date in that respect. We will be working with Camp Street Ministries this week, Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 2, to fill Thanksgiving boxes, and I don't see Julie here right at the moment. She's bringing some folks. But usually there's 500 to 600 boxes for those in need over the holidays that we help to fill. And I understand we still need stuffing and cake mixes and frosting mixes. So if you are coming to volunteer, please bring those. Or if you want to get in touch with Julie or me, we can make sure that those get delivered this week as well. There's a sign-up sheet in the Hope Room for those of you who could volunteer in those time periods. Any amount of time is welcome to help and encourage this ministry that we're a part of on a monthly basis. On Tuesday evening, we are invited to the Interfaith Thanksgiving service that we traditionally have shared with congregations on the east side. It's at Temple Bethel this year at 7 o'clock, and the guest speaker will be Christina Paxson, the new president of Brown University, not so new anymore, but she is the guest speaker that day. So please join us for a time of worship as we gather with other congregations in our community. Next Sunday, you are reminded that it is Dedication of Pledges Sunday, so please bring your pledge cards next Sunday if you can. If you're not going to be here, if you could mail those in or fill one out today and get it to Dan Blackford, our financial secretary, we'd appreciate it because the session is going to be starting to work on the next year's budget pretty early in December this year. And also next Sunday is our college fellowship brunch for our college students. All are welcome to that, and it'll be immediately after worship and hosted this month by the Ramseys and the Wadias. So you will not want to miss it. So tell your friends and please come and join us for brunch. Other announcements this morning. I know there's a couple.
I only have two. First, I wanted to let you all know if anyone is still interested in signing up for the Advent devotional that is online this year. Today is the deadline to let me know so I can register people from this congregation as a group to get a group rate. So if you are interested, either sign up on the bulletin board in the in the Hope Room or see me during coffee hour. And the other announcement is about our Tuesday Nights Together series during Advent on December 3rd, 10th, and 17th. Just a reminder that on those Tuesday nights, we'll gather together from 6 to 8 p.m. for a meal together, which is potluck style. And the next hour, we'll be sharing a time and space of worship with some music and reflections, scripture readings and such. So please be on the lookout for more detailed information coming your way. And if you can help with bringing a dish, there is a sign up also on the bulletin board in the Hope Room. Thank you. Thanks.
There she is.
The TNT dates confused me because I was thinking those aren't the Sundays, but TNT's on Tuesday. So. My bad. We are still in our interim time period. We finished the interim study committee finished our report. But what we're doing now is we're working on forming a pastor nominating committee who'll be working over the next 8 to 10 months on beginning the search for our new next permanent co-pastor. And so we're looking for people who might be willing to serve on that committee. So the nominating committee is going to be meeting today after church. If you have any recommendations or would like to nominate yourself, there are nominating forms on the back table, back where Dan is standing, and there is also a box there to put them in, or you can give them to me. But please give them to me at the end of the service today, and because we're going to be meeting right afterwards. Thanks.
Oh, Murray, yes.
I want to thank the congregation for its enthusiastic response to the request last Sunday about making phone calls to the governor, asking him to put in and keep in the budget senior issues that we've been working on for the past 2 years through RIOP, the Rhode Island Organizing Project, which we are an important part, I think. And the congregation was very responsive to doing that, so responsive that we didn't do an essential thing, which was count. And I'm wondering if it'd be all right to ask you to raise your hand if you have called the governor or if it's still on your to-do list, and we'll do that. If you do that, and somebody help me count. I have some sheets on this. I have some sheets to further explain this and the number and so forth. It's a very important thing for people in this congregation as well as this community. Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Next Saturday evening, the Rhode Island Civic Crown Orchestra will be performing Handel's Messiah at the Cathedral of St. Peter's and Paul's downtown, 7:30. I have tickets. I'm guessing that Andrew may have tickets, or maybe he doesn't have them with him. And this is a steal. We get tickets as singers to try to prompt sales, and they're $15 a piece, which is $10 less than the face value at the concert. So I have those with me. I'll be here after church today. It's a wonderful oratorio, and I have the pleasure of being the backup band to Andrew Foster in the tenor section.
So I think Steve has tickets. I'm not sure Andrew does today. So let's see Steve. The psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Let us rejoice as we come together this day to worship God."
Thank you.
With humble hearts, we are called to honesty before God. We do the things that we should not do. We do not do the things we should. And we are a people who need to confess. And so let us do so in prayer, first in silence, then praying together. Let us pray. Loving God, you promise that all who faithfully confess to you will be forgiven and preserved from trouble. Trusting in your mercy, we acknowledge the harm that we have done and the good we have failed to do. Forgive us, we pray. Guide us in your truth and teach us the way to go, that we may love and serve you well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, remaining seated, give thanks from the small hymnal, number 2036. The prophet says, your sins are as scarlet, and then they shall be white as snow. Friends, believe this good news. Jesus came to save the lost, to bring new life and hope and the very forgiveness of sin. Through his life, death, and resurrection, we are saved. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is the time that we share joys and concerns, but as we move into that, we would like to ask David Spader, who is co-chair of the Personnel Committee, to bring a joy to us to start with.
It's my pleasure to announce that the search for the transitional pastor is over. So a joy for that. We're excited to have Reverend Bea Hoover Mulvaney joining us throughout the transitional period as we search for a permanent pastor. She comes with lots of experience in both an interim role and as a pastor of a congregation. So we're very excited to have her aboard. And maybe even one of the biggest joys is not only did we do it on time, but actually early. She'll be joining us a couple weeks earlier, and we'll start on December 15th and be with us for worship. So a very big joy to start out. I also have one other joy or thanksgiving. Please be thankful for all of those on the personnel committee that put together a very aggressive and short timeline and prayerfully considered and worked through the process. So big thanksgiving for all of them together. And lastly, a concern, if you could keep my niece Rebecca in her in your prayers. She's really struggling with the chemo that she's had to go through again. So thank you.
Thank you, Dave. So where else are we?
Feels good to be back in worship again after being away for a couple of weeks. But some of you may know through the emails that my very good friend, Lori Sorvello's husband, was involved in a very serious car accident November 10th. And his brother was killed in the accident, and he is still in the hospital and still in intensive care. He has lots of broken bones and internal injuries, but thankfully those bones will heal, and he doesn't have a head injury. But he's got a long road back. He actually, this past week, has battled pneumonia. And my friend Lori, who is a lifelong friend who I met in seventh grade, and we lived together for a time right out of college, she also has MS and depends on her husband quite a bit for her care, and it lives with her 16-year-old daughter. So just lots of prayers for the family because they need lots of support in this time. She lives 2 hours away from me, so it's very difficult for me to think of how I can support her. So prayers are the best thing right now. Thank you.
Marcia, who we've been praying for, is now all done with chemo and just in time for the holidays. She's very excited. There is a 70% chance that the cancer will come back, but she has said she feels that she has kicked cancer's butt again.
Thanks, Tom.
So I'm very joyful that my family is going to be gathering together for Thanksgiving. My twin sister and her husband are traveling today from Pennsylvania to New York, and they're supposed to get quite a few inches of snow, so just travel prayers for them. And I'm excited for the opportunity to get together with my stepsisters, who we very rarely, I don't think we've all been together since my parents got married, so.
Thanks, Jenny. I know here, and then I'll come to you, Andrew.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter, particularly since he's had radiation. He's had weakness in his right knee, which makes it difficult for him to get up from a sitting position, so I'm developing muscles. I'd also like prayers for myself, as I'm having problems with one of my eyes, and I have an eye appointment tomorrow, and we'll see what the doctor says about that. And I'd like traveling mercies for everybody who's traveling this week.
It's a joy to have some of my extra family here today. My parents are here from Atlanta, and my sister is here from Providence. I think little Lily is sleeping in. Had her 3-month-old birthday, but hopefully we'll all get to meet her soon.
A timid little hand there, Sherry.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my supervisor. Her sister had a small surgery on her foot, and they found that she has a slew of blood clots, one that dislodged and went into her lung. So I don't know her name, but my boss's name is Patty, so Patty's sister.
I'd like to say what a great joy it was to be reminded by Pastor Chris last week in her sermon about her father's faithfulness in giving and his giving envelope. And my dad had the same ritual. He would go into his office before church while he was waiting for us to get ready, and he would make out his check. And it became so important to him that in the last months of his life, when he had dementia, he would make sure that the giving envelope was up on the refrigerator at the beginning of the week, and he would keep checking it, and he would keep making sure that it was ready to go to church. And the day he died was early Sunday morning, and his staff took the envelope and went to church to put it in the plate. So thank you, Pastor Chris, for that wonderful memory.
Let us pray. In quietness and trust, we turn to you, O God, in this hour. Open our hearts that we might hear your word, that we might experience your transforming touch in this season. We pray for a world in pain, of suffering and war, homelessness and hunger, isolation and despair. Encourage your people with hope and the presence of our very lives, near and far. We pray for continuing recovery in the Philippines, for places of tumult in the Middle East, for all your world. We give thanks, great God, for our joys. Help us always to remember the blessings of your hand and to give thanks for healing this week for Mark Weber, for progress with Ashley's adoption as we pray for a second and final court date and the paperwork for December 6th. For connections near and far in the birth of Nicole to Anne Mwangi on November 20th, for continuing witness and ministry of John Mers. We thank you for your healing for Marcia as she anticipates this holiday season and for all who would be traveling this Thanksgiving to be with family near and far. We continue, O God, to lift in prayer those who are in need of healing in these days, always more of a challenge in these days of holiday and busyness, for Melinda, for Trey, for Rebecca, for Lori and Rob, for Walter and Judy, for Patty's sister. May your healing hand be upon all of them to grant them calm and peace in this season and glimmers of your healing presence. Help us, O God, to be a people ever faithful in discipleship, following where you alone lead, and to never take opportunities for ministry for granted. We thank you for those who have been faithful in giving time, tithes, and talents, particularly in this time of transition. We pray for Camp Street this week as we join in Thanksgiving efforts and for all the ways we might bring hope to a hurting world. You alone, O God, are ever faithful, ever seeking to show forth your grace upon us. We give thanks for the leadership of so many in these days, for the personnel search committee in bringing forth Bayeta, for Pastor B and her transition to us, for your guidance in this time, for the nominating committee looking towards our search for the permanent pastoral leadership. In and through Christ, this day and all days, we would pray and live in the power of your teachings as we pray in the name of our Lord, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite the boys and girls to join me up front. Hello, hello.
You like that spot?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Have a seat right here. So I have a question for all of you this morning, and if the answer is yes, raise your hand. Are you ready? Ready? Oh, some of you are already raising your hands. All right, well, so here's the question. Everybody who is good at something, say yes by raising your hand. Everybody is good at something, so here's the next question. Are you good at reading? If you're good at reading, raise your hand. Are you good at singing? If you're good at singing, build, okay, good. If you're good at building things, what about if you're good at smiling and making people happy? All those hands ought to be up. Even you, Bobby, yeah, yeah. So I want to tell you a story this morning about a little boy. His name was William, and he had something that he was good at. I'm just going to show you a couple pictures. He was good at dreaming. See that? He was also a hard worker. What's he doing? Working in the garden. But he lived in a country where the rain did not come, and plants did not grow, and his family and his friends didn't have enough to eat, and his mom and dad could no longer afford to send him to school, and he was pretty sad. So he went to the library, and he read some books, and he figured out how to make a windmill. Even though his friends and his neighbors laughed at him, he got stuff from the junkyard, and he figured out how to put that windmill together. Do you see that? Does it look kind of funny? He used a propeller from a plane and a transistor from like a radio. And what happened? What do you see here? He made a light. His windmill made a light work. That's a true story. His name is William Kamkwamba, and he comes from a country called Malawi in Africa. And he made wind that allowed his people to pump water out of wells. He made electric wind, a windmill. So every one of us has a gift that we can use to make other people's lives better or to make our lives better. Everybody has a gift. Y'all raised your hand about the smile, right? So let's say thanks to God for that gift. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts you have given, for the gift that each of us is. Say it again.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Children are excused to their classes, middle school upstairs for class this morning.
Good morning. The Old Testament lesson is from the Psalms, Psalm 36, verses 5 to 9. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. And the New Testament lesson is from Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
We prepare to sing our hymn of preparation. We will sing it twice through, so let us stand and sing together. Please be seated. So, those of you who know me know that I love to ask questions. So, did any of you watch the CBS News program 60 Minutes last Sunday night? Anyone? No. Well, one of the program segments described an exclusive new club. The club has only two criteria for membership. First, one must be worth at least $1 billion. $1 billion. Second, members must agree to give away at least half of what they have. 115 people currently belong to the club and have taken what is known as the Giving Pledge, promising to donate at least half of their wealth to the charity or charities of their choice. The founders of this billionaires club, Warren Buffett, who has pledged 99% of his considerable fortune, and Bill and Melinda Gates, who've pledged 95% of their assets, believe that great wealth can enable life-changing
philanthropy. As I watched, I was struck by the choices some of these ultra-wealthy philanthropists were making. Sarah Blakely, the founder of the undergarment company known as Spanx, has pledged to support women's causes. No surprise there. South African mining tycoon Patrice Motsepe has promised to give his wealth to fight unemployment in his native country. Buffett, wishing to continue what he believes he does best, which is make more money, has decided to continue running his business, but he has placed his money into the foundation started by Bill and Melinda Gates, an organization that is combating global poverty and disease. All of these individuals are giving, and their gifts reflect their values. A gift always says something about the giver. Will you please pray with me? Creator God, you gave us life and breath and abundant blessing. Ever mindful of your gifts to us, may we reflect together on the gifts that we share with others. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Zacchaeus may have been short in stature, but he was not short on cash or ingenuity. He was also either well-informed or just paying close attention to the town gossip. In any case, Zacchaeus knew something about this person named Jesus, and he knew that Jesus was coming to Jericho, and he decided he wanted to see that man. Recognizing his physical limitations would prevent him from seeing Jesus, Zacchaeus took action. He ran ahead of the crowd and scrambled up a tree. From that perch, Zacchaeus saw and was seen. The next part of the story can be interpreted in two different ways. Traditionally, Zacchaeus has been portrayed as a sinner. He was a tax collector, an individual whose job involved collecting tax money from his fellow Hebrews and giving it to the Roman oppressors. Tax collectors got wealthy by taking more than what was due the government and putting it in their own pockets. So Zacchaeus had profited by cheating his own people. When Jesus sees Zacchaeus, he calls him down out of that tree and suggests that they share table fellowship in Zacchaeus' own home. Tradition tells us that Zacchaeus saw the error of his ways and repented, saying, "Lord, look, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Zacchaeus, in response to what he has received, forgiveness, acceptance, inclusion into a community, feels compelled to give to the poor, to do more than what Hebrew law required, which would have been to restore double what he had stolen. Current scholarship, however, suggests that little Zacchaeus, all these years, may have been given a bad rap. Some scholars suggest that the Greek words traditionally translated into English in the future tense, "I will give," "I will pay back," ought to be translated in the present tense. Read in this way, Zacchaeus' response to Jesus is, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I pay back four times as much." At the time of his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus, with this understanding, was already sharing half of his wealth with those in need. If he were alive today, he might qualify for that billionaires club. Instead of resulting in repentance, Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus enables the man to be seen in a new light. He is no longer merely the sinful tax collector, because the way Zacchaeus has chosen to use his wealth reveals who this man truly is. A tax collector, yes, but also a man who cares for people, one who is committed to God's justice. Jesus' action, then, enables others to see Zacchaeus in a new light. Every gift reveals something about the giver. Jesus offers mercy, forgiveness, and acceptance. He is the wellspring of new life, one who connects people to God and to one another. We, like Zacchaeus, are called to be givers. Our actions reveal what is central to our lives. Now, I can't imagine that any one of us, I know I will never be, and I don't know about any of you, but I can't imagine any of us will be invited to join Warren Buffett's club, right? It's a little out of our reach. But we all, as I said to the children, we all have gifts to offer. And every gift matters, for no other reason than the fact that it tells those around us something about who we are and what we value. As I told the children, William Kwamba was both a dreamer and naturally inquisitive. Determined not to succumb to the poverty and hunger that was prevalent in his native land, Malawi, William used his gifts to learn, to imagine, and to create electric wind. William's endeavor, which involved translating science texts, picking through junkyard trash, and enduring ridicule, resulted in his dream becoming a reality. When he was just 14 years old, William created a windmill that could power 4 light bulbs. Empowered by that success, he went on to successfully create a machine that drew enough water out of a well to water his grandmother's garden. William Kwamba used his innate talents, imagination, and intelligence to create hope for his family and for his community. The gift revealed what was important to William, the giver. All giving involves choosing. This past Tuesday alone, I received requests for financial support from 6 charities. One day, 6 requests. Yeah, somebody's laughing. You all have experienced this as well. This is the request time of year. Each day, I decide how to spend my 24 hours. I decide what or whom I will support with my time, my talent, my treasure. Each choice that I make tells those around me what I believe to be important. That's true for each and every one of us, individuals and as families and communities. Warren Buffett started the Giving Pledge because he believed that working together, we are able to accomplish more than we can when we work alone. Gifts shared can be gifts multiplied. Said, no matter who we are, we all need somebody.
watch. So what you're missing with no sound is each new person who sings, their voice is being added to the person before. So this is growing. Go home, watch it on YouTube. It's amazing. Each voice, each instrument adds to the music. And in the end, people all over the world, South Africa, Italy, California, New Orleans, are all singing together with this one man separately. This movement is called Playing for Change. The musicians have found a way to transcend time and space in order to use their musical talents to support a cause they believe in. The gift always reveals something about the giver. You and I are part of the church, the body of Christ here in this place, and the church universal, as Pastor Chris told us last week. The Christian faith is an embodied faith. We worship a triune God who was incarnate, who walked among us, sharing our human joys and suffering. The way we use our collective gifts reveals what is at the heart of our faith. As those who have been called together by God, how we use our gifts, the hours of our days, our innate talents, our material wealth, discloses our core values, what, in theologian Paul Tillich's words, is the ground of our being. Martin Rinkhart was a German clergyman who served in Eilenburg during the 30 Years' War. Eilenburg was a refugee site, and in part due to the overcrowding that resulted from the influx of people, the city was hard hit by the plague of 1637. During that year, Rinkhart buried as many as 50 people a day, including his own wife. Despite the death and destruction that surrounded him, Rinkhart penned these words: "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." These words are Martin Rinkhart's gift to us. They reveal his ability to see and sense God's presence, even in the midst of the darkest of times. Singing these words, as we will at the close of worship this morning, Christians have found a way to give voice to a deep truth, the promise that grounds our faith. We worship the one John's gospel describes in this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God's gift of love incarnate enables, compels us to live as those who know themselves to be loved and who offer love to others. So this morning, I'm left wondering, what does the way I use my 24 hours a day
my God-given abilities, my resources, reveal about me. The gift always says something about the giver. And so, I will praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith. From the Confession of 1967, the Church responds to the message of reconciliation in praise and prayer. In that response, it commits itself afresh to its mission, experiences deepening of faith and obedience, and bears open testimony to the gospel. Adoration of God is acknowledgement of the Creator by the creation. Thanksgiving is rejoicing in God's goodness to all humankind and in giving for the needs to others. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Okay.
I'd like to call forward Brooke Moles for the moment for mission, brief moment for mission before our offering this morning.
Good morning. I'm going to try to keep this short and simple. First, I just want to say an amen, a personal amen to Jenny's message this morning. I thought it was really great to hear about the way in which our values reflect ourselves, our giving reflect our values. And we all face, as Jenny said, decisions every day about our money. Money's a regular part of our lives. We make decisions on a daily basis about what we'll buy. And as Jenny mentioned too, we often face decisions about where we'll give. We get all sorts of invitations and chances to give. If you're a member of this church or you've pledged to this church in the past, you probably got a letter this week from us to this organization asking you to think about how you'll pledge your money. And we pass the plates every Sunday, and that too is an invitation for you to give. Information doesn't solve all the questions that we have. It doesn't necessarily make the decisions all that much easier, but it's a good place to start. And so what we're going to do today is just basically give you a chance to get more information about the church's finances, where the money comes from, where it goes, and currently what the balance is between what comes in and what goes out. It'll be very informal. I think it'll be very short, too. I don't expect there to be a whole long time. I'll be down there. Dan Blackford, who is our church financial secretary, will be there. And I don't know if Yuluma's here today, but she's been invited to come down as well. So as for when and where, downstairs, and I will be involved in counting the money, so go get a cup of coffee, spend a little time in the coffee hour, and then we'll get on downstairs shortly after the end of the service. Thank you very much.
I'll be down there too as well, so that to greet you as you come on down.
In response to God's love for us, let us show our love for Him and bring our offerings and tithes and gifts. We are so grateful for your love for us, for your presence in this congregation, for bringing to this congregation the people that make it what it is, the leaders that we have, the people that follow the leaders. We thank you, and we dedicate these offerings for your use in furthering this church, furthering your mission as we go out from this church as well. In Christ's name we pray.
Friends, go out into the world and give thanks. Give thanks for all the abundance God has granted you, for the beauty of this world. And may God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you today and always. Amen.
No matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're gonna need somebody to stand by you. This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're gonna need somebody to stand by you.
time.